Welcome back to the Shine Lord Radio Show, right here on We Talk Radio Network.
I confess, SOS, I need you daily. Can't lie, say the pain don't faze me. My God, who gon' help these babies? Dysfunctional, but I'm functioning. I'm just wondering if your signs and wonders might wander in and get me out the hole that I stumbled in. Well, I know I tried, and Lord know I cried. Help, you know I'm tired. Need a helping hand to get me out the fire, yeah. My.
I've been in the fire so long, I can't get burned no more. I thought you was putting out the flame, but it was rain from the storm. Thoughts over my head, making me stressed all day long. They won't let me rest, that's on my chest. I ain't that strong. I need a lifeline right now. 911 won't do, my back's against the wall now. Done all that I prayed every prayer, went to every service like I know how. Just a ship without a sail, I'm lost without your help. I need help. Oh, Lord, I need your help. 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 But it ain't about my will, it's all about what you want. Family used to be first, things getting worse in my home. My brother is hurt, we need a word, it's too far gone. I need a lifeline right now, 911 won't do. My back's against the wall now, done all that I could do. I prayed every prayer, went to every service like I know how. Just a ship without a sail, I'm lost without you.
Help now, see, I feel left out, I can't tell my right from my left now, but my mama's crying cause my daddy's dying, he got pains all in his chest now, my daughter's having these nightmares, I might be wrong but I'm right here, yeah, I'm trying to hold on when my hands hurt or the ropes out, cause when life fights it don't fight fair, so I'm leaning all on these ropes now, and I got hope but it's low now, so I'm leaning all on these quotes now, like never leave me, won't forsake me, if you don't help me, I don't make it.
Somebody laying in the hospital.
Hey, I want to give a special shout out to all of you that are on Facebook, our church Facebook page, my personal Facebook page, that are also joining us on YouTube under Spirit of Inspiring Love Church, as well as those that are on We Talk Radio on the Shine Lord program on the station called We Talk Radio, where we talk, we listen, and we take action. I want to thank all of y'all for spending this small segment of your time with us on today. And this is a wonderful day. This is the day that the Lord has made. And as I always say, if you are alive and able to live and to be 6 feet above ground on this day, you, sir, you, ma'am, are in fact blessed. Want to thank y'all. I've got a wonderful first lady that's right here in attendance joining us on this morning. Good morning to you here. And I just want to say that we are about to embark on a journey. I just want to say that we are about to embark on a journey. We are about to dive into something here that we don't talk a lot about, especially in our families, in our church world. We don't talk a whole lot about this. And I've been seeking God for quite some time on this series here that we're about to get in. And it's something that when God says go, we just be obedient and we do what he says. We don't try to worry about the ifs. We don't try to focus on the buts. We don't try to reason or try to rationalize things. When he says go, our job is to just go and to be obedient. This is a very sensitive subject. It's a very sensitive subject matter. Okay. And I want us to understand here, you know, when God says it, then we need it. When God says it, we need it. And we just have to embrace it. It's not always going to taste, as I said a while back, everything's not going to taste like German chocolate cake. Sometimes we have to have some broccoli, some green vegetables, some leafy greens and carrots and things in our system, because those are the nutrients that we need. And I believe that this series here is going to be like one of those multivitamins that we need. It's not the best. It doesn't look the best. It doesn't taste the best. But it is, in fact, necessary for us to continue to grow in God. This is why this is called Soil Church, S-O-I-L, Spirit of Inspiring Love. But we want you to grow in the soil, to grow in the soil. And growth is not always a comfortable thing. Growth doesn't always feel good. Sometimes we have to stretch outside of our normal comfort zone, and he has to stretch us. Just like I was sharing with somebody last night who said to me, we are the clay. He's the potter. He molds us. He shapes us. And sometimes if it doesn't turn out just right, he does it all over again. And this is a molding process. This is a shaping process. And we just have to be obedient and receive what it is that God wants us to receive. But what I want us to understand, you have to listen when the word is being sown. If it falls on stony ground, then it's not going to be received, because faith cometh by what? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing from, in fact, the word of God. So what I want to do is we're going to embark on this series here. I don't know how long we're going to be here, but when God says enough and the work is done, then that's when we'll know that the work is, in fact, done. So what are we talking about here? What are we getting into here? Where are we going with all of this, Pastor Glenn? Well, here's the deal. Forgiveness started with God. And since God is a God of free will, ladies and gentlemen, he's a God of free will. He allows us to live in free will, and he allows us to choose who we serve. Okay, the Bible says, choose you this day whom you will serve. It's a choice. And that is how we are, in fact, able to live. That means for us, people, mankind, that means that there are no strings attached. Okay, there is no puppet lifestyle. God is not some puppet master dangling us and making us or anything. He is not a forceful God. Now, there are times where he chastises us and he'll correct us. He'll discipline us out of love. But as far as our choice to receive that discipline, to receive that love, it is in fact a choice. He gives us a choice. But despite our personal choices, whether good or bad, his love, his mercy and forgiveness are stronger than our choices. I want us to understand that. His love, his mercy, and his forgiveness, it's stronger than our choices, and that will never change. God is the same yesterday. He's the same today, and he will be the same tomorrow, because God is unchanging, and he is, in fact, always the same. Now, as we start this new series on this morning, I've come to find that one of the main reasons why God will never change is because God will never go back on his word. When God says it, it's going to happen, and his word will not return unto him void. So God spoke it. God is, as faith is. As faith is, God is. He's ever existed. He's always the same, and he will never, ever, ever, ever change. And that's how his love is for us. That's how his mercy is for us. That's how his grace is for us. So there's one thing that we know will always be the same, and that is, in fact, the love and the personality of God. I want to start off as we get into this series here. We're going to come from one of the Gospels in the book, in the New Testament. As you know, we talk about the Bible being like two halves, right? We have a left hand, which is represented by the Old Testament, the books of Genesis through Malachi. And then we get into the New Testament. But before we get into the New Testament, right, which is the books of Matthew through the books of Revelations, we're going to hang out in what we call a grace period of the Bible that connects the Old Testament with the New Testament. And it's called the Gospels. The Gospels, as you've heard me say before, but I just want to go ahead and kind of expound on that a little bit, because you know my style. I don't like to assume that everybody grew up in church, knew the books of the Bible, went to vacation Bible school, all of that stuff. That doesn't matter to me. What I want to make sure is that the people of God living in 2021 can understand the biblical text as we exegete into the word, as we expound onto the word, as we break the word down, that you can take it, it's bite-sized, and it's able to be received, and therefore, we want to make sure that it meets you where you are, because as we say about the word of God, it lives through us, right? It speaks to us, it lives through us, and it meets us wherever we are. So wherever we are in our life, whatever we're doing in our life, wherever it is, Jesus will meet you wherever you are, and the word has to meet you wherever you are as well. So we're going to hang out in one of the four Gospels, and the Gospels are four of the 12 disciples, okay, that Jesus handpicked. They followed him for about 3 years of his ministry. And they had four different accounts that made it into the Bible that talked about the ministry of Jesus. And we're going to talk about this guy who called himself the disciple that Jesus loved. And what does this have to say about this series that we're getting ready to go in? We've all heard this scripture that we're going to pull up later on. We've all quoted this scripture. Matter of fact, some scholars believe it is probably the most quoted scripture out of all 66 books of the Bible. And it is something that we've heard for years. But we're going to dive into that, because not only are we going to read that scripture, we're also going to read a scripture after that, and we're going to connect these dots, and we're going to take our time. I am not trying to rush. I am not trying to move on into church flow. I want to make sure your spirit grows. I am not interested in church flow. I am interested in your spirit growing. So we're going to pace ourselves. We're going to take our time, and we're going to be on this ride for a while. And we're going to hear everything that God needs for us to hear, because this is a wall that has to be torn down. This is a wall that has to come crumbling down. This is a wall that will do something amazing for you in your life if we just accept and hear from the word of God. Let us go into a moment of prayer. Heavenly Father, we're here again, every hungry heart and spirit that is online, that is listening, whenever they listen on the radio, Lord, on the internet radio, wherever they are, wherever we are, Lord Jesus, 3 years from now, 4 years from now, this particular message is going to be life-changing, and I speak that prophetically. I know that somebody's life is going to be changed, and I also know somebody's going to be bothered by this word, but bothered in a good way. Lord, I'm your humble servant, and I am doing what you've asked for me to do. And I want nothing more but to please you, God. So empty out my cup so that you can fill me up, Lord. And fill the hearts and the souls and the spirits of everyone listening to this message, Lord. Wherever they are, whenever they are. And I just want to thank you for ordering our steps. Thank you for the soft ears, Lord. Thank you for the soft heart that will receive it, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that this is not about an evaluational sermon. This is about you evaluating our spirits. We tell you to search us, oh God, but sometimes we don't mean it. Well, Lord, search us anyway. Show us ourselves. Humble us and speak to us. In the name of Jesus, I pray, Lord, I rebuke every distraction that wants to come in and rob someone from feeding on this word. Satan, you're around, and I know you're available, and you got a whole lot going on, but this word you will not interfere with in the name of Jesus. And every demon that you got assigned to kill, steal, and destroy, and distract, we rebuke it by the name of Jesus. There is power in the tongue. And Lord, we thank you for the victory. In Jesus' name, I thank you for that person that is going to receive this word and experience what you have to say. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Thank you. Thank you for joining us. However you're listening to us, whenever you're listening to us, and let's hear what God has to say about this word. And as I said earlier, about the four gospels, we're going to be coming out of the book of John. The book of John, because John was that disciple that referred to himself as the disciple that Jesus loved. And what I want us to understand is that the gospels here are like that grace period, as we talked about. This is Jesus walking. This is Jesus talking. This is Jesus coming down from the glory on high and now doing the work of the Father that sent him to do so that we can have access to salvation. But what I want us to know and understand is that the way things were in the Old Testament, there was always a blood offering that had to be sacrificed. The blood had to be on the door, the lamb, the ox, different things had to be sacrificed because the blood had to be shed. But the beautiful thing about Jesus coming is he is the sacrificial lamb of God. And once his blood was shed, that is a blood that's shed and it is a constant thing. It is an ever-going thing. And once his blood was shed, blood does not need to be shed again because he's the holy lamb of God. And all we have to do is just accept the Lamb of God, and we receive the benefits from the blood being shed. So what I want us to understand here, as we go into the gospel here, we're going to specifically come out of the book of John for this particular message. And John, again, referred to himself as the disciple that Jesus loved. But how could he say that about himself? How could he say that out of all 12 of them, he's the one that Jesus loved? This is all about not Jesus making that choice. This is about how John felt about his personal relationship with Jesus. When you, ladies and gentlemen, come to know Jesus for yourself, see, I can tell you that this water right here is pure and this water will quench your thirst and everything else. But until you drink of this water, you won't know that you'll never thirst again until you drink of it. When you come to know Jesus for yourself and you taste and you see, you're going to know what it is that he means to you in your life. And John was at a level like this in his life to where he knew and he felt that he was the disciple that Jesus loved. No one can tell you about how you feel about Jesus. No one can tell you about the relationship that you have with your Lord and Savior. And if you feel the way that you feel about him, nothing and nobody shall separate you from that feeling, from that love. And that is, in fact, how John felt about his relationship with Jesus. So what I want us to understand here is that John saw Jesus and the life of Jesus as a walking love story that was manifesting right before their eyes. Every miracle, every healing, every supernatural thing that Jesus did, it was a love story. It was done out of love. It was done out of compassion. It was done out of the pureness of his heart, and it was something that he did not have to do. It was something that he didn't have to put himself through. But Jesus made the choice to be obedient and to sacrifice, to come down out of glory, to come down out of the angels that are constantly praising him. Do you realize he was sitting and is sitting at the right hand of the Father, but he stooped down to show his love for us? This is why John said, I'm the disciple that Jesus loved. because I know why he came. I know why he lived on earth. And I know why he died. He did it for me. But what I want us to understand is one of the things that compelled John about his feelings toward Jesus is it wasn't just a love, but it's a love called agape love. It is a love that is so deep. It is a love that is so rich. It is a love that goes to the highest of highs and to the lows of lows. And it does not, as we talk about, love is kind, it's patient, it's not biased, it doesn't have all of those tangible man-made things involved in it. It is a beautiful spirit. And agape love supersedes a love that we can even comprehend and understand ourselves. This is what compelled God to send Jesus down, because it was for his agape love that saw fit to save us, that wanted to have nothing to do with him in the first place. And he saved us, and he sacrificed his only begotten son. I'm kind of getting into the scripture here. You know where we're going with this here. Without a guarantee that there would be a return on his investment. God didn't care about the ROI. There's a message that I preach about the return. And when you invest in God, look at the return. But God was not interested in the return. We're interested in the return because we have to have access to his glory. But God doesn't need our praise. He embraces our praise. He doesn't need our praise. There's nothing that God needs from us. But we have to need everything from God. It was his agape love that sent Jesus down. It was his agape love that saw fit to make a change. It was his agape love that said that these people, they need to turn from their wicked ways and need to humble themselves. I'm going to heal this land, but I'm going to heal it by my lamb. I'm going to heal it by Jesus. Because the word of God meets us where we are, and Jesus had to come down from heaven to meet us where we are, to live through us and to live with us so that we could be connected in the natural realm, so that we would have access to the spiritual realm. That's how much the Father loved us. And as I said, God is a God of free choice, free will, without a return, that we would in fact embrace and love the Son. So what kind of love is agape love? And what kind of God would make this kind of a sacrifice? What kind of God would send himself down from the highest of kingdoms and the highest of praises to sacrifice for people that in return may and may not accept his love? This kind of love, ladies and gentlemen, is a love that is unmatched. This kind of love cannot be compared to. This is a kind of love that sinks to the deepest of depths and the highest of highs, and it is a love that all we can do is receive. If you've ever in your life been touched by this kind of love, my dear friend, you will know that it was, in fact, love that lifted you out of sin. There is a song in the old church that used to say, love lifted me. Love lifted me. When I didn't have any other form of help, love lifted me. It didn't matter where you were in your life, love lifted you. It didn't matter what you were going on through in your life, love rescued you. Regardless to how deep you sunk in your life, love lifted you. This kind of love superseded your shortcomings. This kind of love is a love that, in fact, we don't deserve. And this kind of love cannot come from just any kind of God. This is not just any God, but this is, in fact, the God of all gods. This is the God of David. This is the God of Moses. This is the God of Adam and of Eve, and this is the God of Jonah. And each of these people will tell you that he is a God of love and that he is, in fact, also a God of forgiveness. Adam and Eve, they created the sin, the epitome of sin. When they tested the knowledge of God, and as I talked about last week, the enemy came in and he kind of said some things to Eve, and he presented some questions to Eve that made her turn away from God, but God didn't stop loving Adam and Eve. Okay, Moses committed murder, but God did not stop using Moses for his purpose. Jonah was rebellious and would not go preach to the people of Nineveh, but God turned his ship around and got him back on the straight and the narrow. And you've heard me talk about King David and how David had a promiscuous lifestyle and he was a sex addict, but he was one of the greatest kings of Israel. And he lived a life that allowed the people to be able to see God through him. And he wrote songs and hymns and songs and hymns expressing his life, expressing his emotions, expressing so many things because of this God that loves him so much. And as we lay the foundation of our series, what I want us to understand is my goal is to help us understand that forgiveness originated from the heart of God. And I wanted to take us around just a little bit to understand why God forgives us, to understand why he has a compelled mindset to forgive us and to forgive us for our sins and the things that we do. Because that comes from the heart of God. That holds for the heart of God. It comes from the heart of God. What I want us to understand is just as God demonstrated the importance of forgiveness, forgiveness is an expectation that God has for his believers. You realize that? Forgiveness is an expectation. How many of us ever thought about that? Forgiveness is something that God expects for us to do. We're going to be talking about that for a while as we pace ourselves in this series. But for today, we're just going to make a soft introduction about our series here. We're going to make a soft introduction about this word, and we're going to spend the next few weeks uncovering what God wants us to uncover about forgiving. Now, you know our thematic scripture for 2021. It comes from Ephesians 3:20. Now, unto him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask or think, according to that power. I want you to understand that, that power that works within us. And that power, that wonder-working power, that miracle healing power, that water walking power, that power that the Lord has in fact given us is the power that God gives us to forgive. And what I want us to understand here, our message on today, as you see the slide getting ready to come up here, is called The Power of Forgiveness, Part One. And today we're going to be talking about the origin of forgiveness. The origin of forgiveness. I am going to ask something of you on today to not just let this be another message that you tune in on social media and that you listen to, but I am going to ask you and challenge you to grab a notebook because we've got a lot of slides, we've got some scriptures, and there are some key notes that I want to leave with you. If you're taking notes on your phone, your iPad, whatever device that you may have, or if you can just write down some notes here, take pictures of our different slides and things like that. I want to equip the people of God because my heart is that we get this. My heart is that we understand this. My heart is that we make the decision to embrace this series and just allow God to speak to your heart. And I'm going to be very sensitive about this particular topic that we're on, because I understand it. It is a topic that's very uncomfortable for us. But I want us to do this here. We're going to go with the word of God because the word of God cannot be debated. The word of God, it cannot be opinionated. It cannot be, listen, we just have to receive the word for what it is. And we're going to go into the book of John as we talked about who John is, okay? We're going to come from the book of John. Open your books to John in the Bible, okay? To the book of John in the New Testament, right? The right hand. The New Testament. And what I want us to understand is just in John 3:16. Okay, if you got it, find John 3:16 in your Bible. Okay, John 3:16. We're going to be reading John 3:16 and the verse number 17. John 3:16 and 17 as well. And we all know this. Some of y'all don't have to even look this up. You know it in your spirit. you've heard this scripture before, but what we're going to do is we're going to read, and I'm going to just kind of talk about this particular scripture, okay? And it says, and I'm coming from the New King James Version of the Bible, and it says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, so that whoever believes in him should not perish, but, let's stop right there, because you know, there's always a but, because things can be just like this over here, but God will send a but. Whenever you hear the word but in a scripture, what I want you to understand on today, there is a transition that is going to take place. When you hear the word but, there is a transition that is going to take place. But whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. As you see that scripture on the screen again in front of you, but have everlasting life. The reason why it's a but have everlasting life is because God loved us so much that he sent his only begotten Son. We were living a life in sin, but God loved us so much to make the ultimate act of love, which was sending Jesus now to rescue us from the deeps of the depth. And what I want us to understand here, God did not send his Son. If you're looking at verse number 17, he did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world. Okay, John 3:17, he did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but here's that transition, but here we're shifting again, but that the world might be saved. God did not send Jesus to condemn the world, but yet to save the world. Ladies and gentlemen, this is where the origin of forgiveness comes from. In John 3:16-17, this is in fact the origin of forgiveness. Now, if you're taking notes here, as I really want you to do, I am asking you to do here, if there is any series that you ever take notes on, let it be this series. And I mean that from the bottom and the depths of my heart. So if you're taking notes or snapping with your photo or whatever it is, okay, we're going to quickly here, and I say quickly, but again, we're going to pace ourselves. There are three slides. We're going to put up one by one. And I'm just going to right now, we're going to start off by talking to one of these three slides here. And I want to give you time to digest and process these next three slides, because I want this to resonate into your spirit. Okay? I want this to resonate into your spirit. Now, the first slide is, it's the love of God that produces the forgiveness of God. I'm taking my time for a reason. I'm not interested in how quick we get through this. I am interested in somebody experiencing a life-changing experience. It's the love of God that produces the forgiveness of God. It's the love of God that produces the forgiveness of God. Okay? That is self-explanatory. There is nothing more to expound on that. You just have to take note of that, keep that, and let that play into your spirit over and over and over. Okay, we're going to move on to our next slide that says, there cannot be forgiveness without love. There absolutely cannot be forgiveness without love. Okay, and the next slide that I want to put up, and I want this to resonate into your spirit, where there is no forgiveness, there is no love. Where there is no forgiveness, there is no love. Okay? Kudos to our IT team that worked so hard to make sure that we experienced the fullness of the word of God here from a sound perspective, from a video productions perspective. And I am not the easiest person to keep up with, but the gentleman that does this does a great job and really does a wonderful job of allowing God to use him. As a matter of fact, This is something here, as we're talking about love and forgiveness, this is something that Peter experienced after his shortcoming of denying Jesus three times as Jesus was taken into captivity. Just before Jesus was getting ready to face all the persecution and embark on being crucified, Peter was with him because of what he said. Lord, I'll never leave you. Peter, you're my rock. Yeah, I'm your rock. I will never leave you. I will never deny Peter. You're going to deny me. No, Jesus did Peter. You're going to deny me. No, Jesus, not me. That Peter. You're going to deny me three times. Before that rooster begins to crow, you will deny me three times. Now, if I'm Peter and I saw Jesus just momentarily speak into me, get behind me, Satan, you're not going to talk me out of being crucified. And he looked into the soul of Peter and he looked into the spirit. He looked at what was behind Peter and said, Peter had some amazing encounters with Jesus right before the crucifixion. And he told Peter, looking at Peter, get behind me, Satan. Then he looked at Peter and said, perhaps the Father did not reveal this to you because Jesus said, who is it that you say that I am? And Peter says, you are in fact the Son of God. He said, flesh and blood did not reveal that to you. It was the Father that revealed that to you. As a matter of fact, upon this rock, I will build my church on you, Peter. I'm going to build the foundation on you, Peter, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against this, right? So here's Jesus and Peter having this dialogue, this supernatural dialogue. And then right after that, you're going to deny me three times. Can you just imagine what was going on in the mind of Peter? Now, you just named me the rock. You just spoke something into me. You just told me because Satan wanted to sift me as wheat, but you have prayed for me. And now you're telling me that I'm going to deny you three times. That's what he had to deal with. But since Peter had learned that even though he had denied Jesus and he wept like never before after denying Jesus that third and final time, because they said, hey, wait a minute, you're one of them, aren't you? No, not me. Aren't you one of them? No, you're not me. I saw you with this Jesus guy. No, not me. Crock-a-doodle-doo. Jesus looks into Peter. Now you see what I'm talking about. When I speak, my word is going to come forth. And I spoke that you would deny me three times. But Jesus forgave Peter. It was bigger than Peter because Jesus understood. Not everybody is cut to walk this mile that I'm getting ready to walk. Not everybody is cut from the same cloth. And I understand it. I've got compassion for you. You still have work to do. I still have to build a church through you. But I got to remove some things so that you can be free and clear to do what I need for you to do. And we're going to talk about that here in just a little bit. So this is why Peter can wear the t-shirt of being able to say in 1 Peter 4:8. And as you see it on the screen right here, 1 Peter 4:8, I'm coming from the New International Version of the Bible. This is why I say you got to take notes, because we got a lot of scriptures. We got a lot of slides. And I need you to be able to process this in bite-sized ways so that you can process what the word of God is saying. Peter is saying, above all, love each other deeply, because love covers a multitude of sins. Above all, in other words, the most important thing of all things that you do, love each other deeply. Peter is talking about that agape love. He is talking about a love that is so deep, loving to the best of our abilities to be able to love. Love each other deeply, because love covers a multitude of sins. The deeper you love, the more the multitude of sin will be covered. The deeper that you so love, the more multitudes of sin can be covered. The deeper that you so love, the more of the multitudes of sins that can be covered. Peter experienced this, so therefore Peter could share this. It doesn't get any worse than denying Jesus. He denied Jesus three times. And number three, as you talked about, the number three, the three wise men, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, the Holy Trinity, the holy deity of God. Jesus denied Peter three times. Jesus rose on the third day. It's something about the number three. And I'm going to do a series on the number three one day. But he denied him not once, not twice, but three times. But Jesus's love had superseded the denial of Jesus for three times. Okay, that's what I want us to understand. So Peter, of all people that knew Love covers a multitude of sins. He knew that from his experience, and he knew that because of the love of Jesus. This is how he knew that God produced the automatic forgenness for Peter to deny Jesus. He knew this. In fact, remember, Jesus called him his rock. Jesus was so close to Peter. He knew that Peter would be the guy that would carry forth the gospel. And how hurtful could that have been to deny this man that gave you a life? You were out there fishing, but I gave you a whole new life. Matter of fact, I had you to fish for something deeper than what you understood, because I made you a fisher of men. And you denied him three times. That kind of love is the origin of forgiveness. And that kind of love originated from our one true God. That kind of love is a love that Peter experienced, that Moses experienced, that Jonah experienced, that Adam and Eve experienced, that King David experienced, that you and I experience every single day of our lives. So what we're going to do here, we're getting ready to move into a portion of our series here that I want us to understand, and our message is, I want us to understand, as I stated in the main text, okay, God loved the world so much that he gave us his very best. Who's his very best? His very best is Jesus. And about a year ago, ladies and gentlemen, I preached this message here on Facebook, going to my Facebook page, and we called it, and it was called The Ultimate Act of Love. Remember, we had a three-part series. Okay, God did the ultimate act of love when he sent Jesus, and Jesus is the ultimate gift of love, right? Remember that? And we talked about that because Jesus came to rescue the world from sin. God gave us his best, and so he demonstrated his love for us by giving us his best because of the fact that he loves us with agape love, with that deep love that Peter was just talking about, loving deeply, because when you do it, it covers a multitude of sins. Now, this is what I want us to understand, that when you hear this, when you think of the word forgiving, okay, when you think of the word forgiving, this word has a different meaning to it related to the Bible. As a matter of fact, the word forgiving means that you are taking a stance. Think about that. You're actually taking a stance when you're forgiving. We're going to break that down. I know there are some questions out there. And again, we're going to pace ourselves as we're going through this here. We're not going to rush through it. I want you to hear what God is saying here. I got a slide we're getting ready to put up. And I want you to see right here, as you see this next slide. And it says, I think our team is about ready to put it up here. But I'll read it to you here. Okay, there we go. So when you are forgiving, this means you err on the side of giving. Okay, I'm going to go slow. When you are for giving, it means you're not opposed to giving. When you are for giving, this means you err on the side of giving. You support the stance to give. I can feel somebody being free right now with just hearing this. God is tearing down some walls right now with just that particular slide right there. You are in support of giving. We're going to put up this next slide here. When you are unforgiving, this means you are against giving. And you err on the side of being against giving. You err on the side of being against giving. You're not for giving. You are now against giving when you're unforgiving. And here's the next slide that I want you to put up. And again, I want to encourage you to take notes here, snap photos of this, because I want this to resonate in your spirit. The next slide says, if you are against giving, you are telling God that you do not support his stance on giving. See, now you're inviting God. Thank you, Holy Spirit. You are inviting God into this choice that you're making, because you're telling him that you do not support his stance on giving. That's what you're telling God. You're telling God that you are against his will to give. You're telling God that you do not support him sending his only begotten son. Mm-hmm. This is what it means to be unforgiving. You do not support the stance of giving. Here's another slide that I'm going to put up here. And we've got a few slides and a few scriptures here. Being against God provides compensation from the wages of sin. And the wages of sin ultimately pays you with death. I'm going to say that again, because it's the wages of sin. Okay, the wages of sin lead to death, right? The wages of sin lead to death. So being against God provides compensation. You being paid by the wages of sin, and the wages of sin ultimately pays you with death. Death. That's how dangerous it is to be unforgiving, because you're against God, you're against his stance, and if you're against God, you're rejecting God. When you're rejecting God and you're against God, that is blasphemy. Blasphemy is a sin that will not allow you to have and experience the ultimate goal here, which is to make it into the gates of heaven, because you have rejected God, you have rejected his stance, you're not giving, you're not in support of giving, you are rejecting God, and therefore you will be compensated by the wages of sin, and the wages of sin lead to death. Leads to death. I'm not trying to make anybody feel good with this message. I am summoned to speak this message to God's people, because this is a wall that has to be torn down. And this wall is so serious that it really is between you making it into the gates of heaven and you being paid by the wages of sin. That's how serious this is. And it's such a subtle thing, and it's such a gentle approach, and it's so easy to say, I am not in support of giving, that now you're going to risk your spiritual life and everything that you stand for, and not being important, by not being a part of the stance of God for supporting giving. Okay? That's what it means. So what I want us to understand here, okay, I'm going to say that last slide again. Being against God provides compensation from the wages of sin, and the wages of sin ultimately pays you with death. Let's talk about that for a second. We're talking about death and prosperity. Death and relationships. Death in every area of your life, naturally and spiritually. But again, God is a God of free will. And here's the good news on today. You don't have to choose death. Instead, you can choose life, and you can choose life more abundantly, because we have access to life because God gave us Jesus. And not for his benefit, but for our benefit, so that we can have the benefit to receive everything that God needs for us to receive. But one thing that we have to do, ladies and gentlemen, and I'm getting ready to close here. We ought to reciprocate the giving process, not for our benefit, but for the benefit of others. We talked about servitude. We talked about serving a few weeks ago. And how serving ain't pretty, but it's necessary. You cannot serve if you are against giving. And if you cannot serve, there is no work to be done. And if there is no work to be done, what kind of account are you going to stand before Jesus on Judgment Day and say, this is the work that I've done? This is how deep this gets. This is how serious this is. This is why the enemy does not want you to hear this word. He does not want you to understand how dangerous it is to be unforgiving, because it goes deeper than just deciding to not give. It goes deeper than deciding to hold a grudge. And we're going to talk about that here in the weeks to come. But I think you guys know here, as we're laying the foundation of our message here, we're focusing on the origin of giving. And if God gave, he expects us to give. Okay. So the unforgiveness is what we call a blessing blocker. And it holds up the reciprocation process of giving and receiving. It's a blessing blocker. I've got some PVC pipe right here, And being unforgiveness is like a clog that's stopping the flow of that channel. Okay? So in order to be empowered to be a blessing, okay, because blessings, what? They flow. There is a current. It's like a river. They're flowing. It's a current. Unforgiveness blocks that current. Unforgiveness blocks that flow. Unforgiveness blocks that movement of blessings. And our job is to keep our blessing channel free of debris, free of clutter, free from any blockage that will stop you from being used by God. Because it is God that showed us how to give, and God expects us to be for giving. Now, I'm going to give you a quick illustration here as we're moving along in our message here. If you give a tree water, it will eventually produce fruit, especially a fruit tree, right? Okay, leaves. Okay, we can get off into the different types of trees, but let's just say an apple tree or an orange tree or a cherry tree. If you give any of those fruit trees water, they will eventually produce fruit. The tree does not eat the fruit, but it produces the fruit for others. The tree does not eat what it produces, but the tree is in position to be a producer for others. So as you give the tree what it needs, it will in turn give you what you need. If you give the tree what it needs, it will in turn give you what you need. That's the reciprocation process when it comes to giving. We're getting into the giving season. So as you can see, it is so much like God to start talking about unforgiving as we're starting to get into the holiday season. But let me just say something. Giving is not just during the holidays. Giving is a lifestyle. Being forgiving is a way of life. And even when Christmas has passed and New Year's has passed and all of that, I mean, this is a lifestyle that we have to adapt to because it's what God expects. But speaking of giving and giving to others here, I'm going to put our next slide up here, and I'm going to just talk about a quick quote from one of my great mentors, the late Zig Ziglar, that says, "You can have everything in life you want if you would just help enough other people get what they want." That's one of the most famous quotes of the great Zig Ziglar. You can have everything that you want in life if you would just help enough other people get what they want. Go back to that tree. Okay, if you give that tree water, it's going to eventually produce the fruit. And that fruit is not for the tree's benefit. That fruit is for your benefit. How many times have you been a blessing to people and now that blessing, that flow of blessing now reciprocates and comes right back to you? The Bible says to, okay, in Luke 6 and 38, right? Give and it shall be given unto you, right? Okay, with good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over. Okay, we want to talk about the overflowing. You cannot have, Holy Spirit, thank you for this ultimate word. You cannot have overflow if blessings are being blocked. If you've got debris in your blessing channel, you can't even expect overflow because you can't even expect a current. You can't even expect things to flow. So you cannot get into overflow while you're taking a stance to be against giving. How about that? We want overflow, but what stance are we taking? We want to be part of the blessing currents, but are we for giving? We want, I'm blessed and I'm highly favored. Are we really? Are we being a forgiver or are we being an unforgiver? Which stance are we taking on today? Okay, good measure can't be given unto you if you are against giving. And I want you to understand that because we're talking about the flow. How can something such as forgiveness and unforgiveness be linked to blessings and being linked to abundance and all of that? This is what the enemy did not want you to see and to understand. But we are exposing that because something as simple as somebody hurting your feelings is stopping overflow in your life. So in essence, when you have a spirit to not give, you are essentially just hurting yourself. If you're not giving that tree what it needs to be a producer, you're hurting yourself because now you cannot eat the fruit. But if we follow the giving plan of God, we will never be without. He said it in his word, give and it shall be given unto you. And as long as the art of giving is a process of giving, as the reciprocation of giving is going, the blessings are going to flow. As you give, you receive. As you give, as you receive. As you give, you receive. And here's the deal. The more you give, the more you receive. The more you give, the more you receive. As my hands are going up higher and higher and higher. And even the more you give, the more you receive. The more you give, the more you receive. This is how it works. But if there is a block in your blessing channel, there is no flow of the reciprocational process of blessings. So as I want us to understand here, let's err on the side, ladies and gentlemen, of giving, because God gives and we should too. God gives and we should too. Here's what I want us to know as we're getting ready to close on this message on today. In closing, forgiveness is about being God-like. God had many reasons to be upset and angry with the children of Israel by worshiping idol gods and not following the plan of God, mumbling and complaining, not appreciating the manna that was free falling from heaven to where they never had to be hungry. They may not have liked manna every single day, but they were not starving. They didn't have to work for it. It was just something that made it to them because of his love and his favor for them. And during that journey of the promised land, they began to mumble and complain. They began to not show genuine gratitude. Remember that message we had? They didn't appreciate the blessings from God. But what I want us to understand as we get ready to put our final slide up on today, what I want us to understand as we move into this series, forgiveness is a godly reflection on you and not anyone else. Forgiveness is a godly reflection on you and not anyone else. God looks beneath our shortcomings. His love flushes out all debris, and it keeps the blessing channel open on his end. However, it's up to us to keep the blessing channel open on our end. We are God-like as we're made in his image. He has given us the blueprint to forgive, but it is up to us, ladies and gentlemen, to make the choice to forgive. Now, because we're going to be in this here for a bit, I am going to give you some homework. That's right. The teacher is going to issue out some homework. I could tell my wife right now, she's chuckling. Oh, you're giving homework, huh? Yeah, we're going to give you some homework, because here's what I want us to do. I'm going to ask that you think about this. I am going to ask that you think about some unforgiveness that you may have in your heart. Be honest with yourself. Give yourself an account to dig deep and to say, where do I have unforgiveness in my heart? Don't ignore it. This is not the time to be ignoring things. This is not the time to be holding on to things. As we just talked about, there are some blessings that God is waiting on you to receive, but you've got to open up the other end of that blessing channel. Okay? You must be completely honest with yourself and call out and expose any blessing blockers that are clogging up your spiritual plumbing system. You got to be honest with yourself. You got to now humble yourself. This is why in 2 Corinthians he says, if my people, the very first thing, will humble themselves, turn from their wicked ways, humble themselves, turn from the wicked. You can't turn from your wicked ways if you're not humble. Now you've got to humble yourself and say, where do I have some blessing blockers in my life? We say, search me, O God. When he shows you you, you got to accept the you that he shows you. And he is speaking to you on today. He is showing you yourself. Some things some people did to you and said about you for years and years and years and years, and it has built walls and layers and layers and layers. It's not a layer too deep that God cannot bring you out of. And this is a series that is going to free you for the rest of your life. What I want us to understand here, going back to the homework, okay, take the next few days and identify any unforgiveness in your heart. And I want you to cast that unforgiving spirit into the arms of God. Our message a few weeks ago, cast your cares. Give it to God. If you care about it, it bothers you, give it to God. Cast your cares, okay? Because he cares for you. Remember, he doesn't want you to have blessing blockers in your life. God wants you to be able to receive exceedingly abundantly above all that we can think or ask. Okay. He wants those blessings to flow. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together. But we've got to remove some things that are clogging up our spiritual plumbing system. And I'm here to tell you there are some blessings that are about to overflow that are going to knock your socks off and blow your ever-loving mind. But we have to get out of this wall. We've got to allow the blessing chambers to be open. We've got to remove those barriers that are stopping us from receiving everything that God wants us to receive because he cares for you. It's time for us to now start unclogging our spiritual plumbing system. But somebody out there on today, they need to know who the plumber is. Somebody needs to know, who is this holy plumber that I am hearing Pastor Glenn continue to speak about? I hear what you're saying, but maybe there are some channels on the inside of you that's stopping you from coming back home, even though the father is waiting on you, prodigal son, prodigal daughter, he's waiting on you. But there are some things that are stopping you from returning home. Maybe it's pride. Maybe it's guilt. Maybe it's shame. Maybe it's condemnation. Maybe there's a lot of things that are going on. Maybe you're too cool for all of this. I want to speak to the cool you. I want to speak to the proud you. I want to speak to the you that just think that whatever you've done, there is no way that God will forgive you. Let me tell you something. You can't out-forgive God's giving. You cannot do anything that is deeper than the forgiveness of God. You cannot do anything that will supersede his love and his forgiveness. This is why we're on this message. This is why we're on this series. This is why I want us to understand that there is absolutely nothing that you can do that will stop God, sir, that will stop God, ma'am, from loving you. You want to know the plumber. This is a plumber that will unclog any clog in any system. He is a plumber that is more than being MetGas certified. He is a plumber that has every credential, to be able to unclog and deal with any plumbing system in all of our lives. Maybe you've got some leaks. Maybe you've got some pipes that are rusted. Maybe you've got some things that need to be unclogged and need to be repaired. This is the plumber that I want to introduce you to on today. If that is you on today, here's what I want you to understand. When you call on this plumber and allow him to access your plumbing system, he will unclog your system and allow you to flow freely into everything that he needs for you to flow freely and to have access to. This is what I want for you. I want you to just say this after me right now. Lord Jesus, I've been away. I've strayed away. Lord, I got some things that need to be unclogged in my life. There's some hatred. There's some bitterness. There are some deep pains and maybe some things people have said to me, said about me years ago that have just built walls. I've got calluses that are just built up and I just, whatever it is, Lord, break it down. Tear down those walls. I want to get to know you like John. And I want to be the one that knows that Jesus loves. I'm the disciple that Jesus loved. I'm the one that wants to love you. I'm the one that wants to grow in you. I'm the one, Lord, that I want to taste and see and know that you're good, Lord. And I just need some help. I just need some compassion. I need some direction. Lord, just take your chisel and just chisel away these calluses that have stopped me from moving freely in my life and tear down these walls and help me to know you and help me to know you like I've never known you before. I believe that you died, that you rose on the third day with all of the glory and with all of the power. You are the Lord of Lords. You are the King of Kings, and I give my life to you. In Jesus' name, thank you for saving me, and I'm ready to work. If that was you, and you got introduced to the plumber, I want to talk to you. I want to encourage you. First of all, we're going to clap for you and welcome you into this kingdom. Let me tell you something. This is a team of plumbers. This is a team of NetGas certified plumbers. This is a team that will help you, that will pray with you, that will be on you like white on rice to help you keep that blessing channel unclogged. And if that was you, I'd love for you to send me a note. I'd love to just pray with you. I'd love to just encourage you. I'd love to connect with you. I'd love to just be whatever God needs for me to be for you. But I want to first just thank you for accepting him. Thank you for tasting and seeing. Thank you for allowing him to show you what he can be for you in your life. We're going to be on this series here for a while, because this is something that we have to understand, that's going to take us to the next level of our lives. And when God says it, his word will never return unto him void. So I thank you for just being on point, just being dialed in, for listening to this message. Do something. Put in a text, like, share. If there was something that stood out to you that was a blessing, put that text in the chat. Let the world know you've been blessed by this message. Let the world know that this message is resonating in your life. Don't be too proud to share what God is doing and what God is saying to you in your life. All right. So here's another important point. It is giving time right now. It is giving time for the Spirit of Inspiring Love Church. As you see on the screen, we've got multiple ways to give. Okay, you've got the QR code. If you're looking on your laptop, you take your phone, you can scan that QR code. It'll take you right to our Givelify page, right? It'll take you right to our Givelify page. You can use that, okay? Or just go to Givelify. If you don't have a way to scan a QR code, look us up, Spirit of Inspiring Love Church, okay? You'll see, you know, I got all 32 of my teeth, right? 32 and a half of my teeth, whatever it is, I forgot to count, smiling at you. Hey, saying, hey, thank you for joining our page, whatever. Go to that page right there on Givelify. My wife is cracking up on that. There, she's at 32 and a half. All right, go to us on Zelle, okay? Pull us up on Zelle, info.soilchurch@gmail.com. I want to kind of have a little bit of laughter in this here, because I know this is a sensitive subject. I want us to just laugh and to just embrace this word. It's a word, and I'm praying just for the sensitivity for us to really get this word. Okay, I know we're talking about giving right now, but I'm still dialed into the word, and I'm laughing, and I want you guys to just enjoy what God is saying. Don't get defensive. Don't get defensive. Don't put up walls. Receive these walls. Tear down those walls. Tear them down like the walls of Jericho, so that you can receive this word. If you've been blessed by this word, you can give to us on Zelle, info.soilchurch@gmail.com. And then there's always the old school way, okay? The P.O. Box, 180-972, Arlington, Texas, 76096, okay? You can write us a check, money order, whatever it is. I pray over every seed that comes into this church. And right now, I want to pray over your seed. Right now, Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for every seed that's coming into this ministry. Thank you for those that are so diligent with just giving every week. Whatever it is, $5, $10, it doesn't matter. It is not about the amount. It's about the obedience. It's about watering that tree so that tree can produce the fruit, Lord. And that's what this ministry does. That's why we grow in the soil. We want to grow in the soil of your love, Lord, so that we can just give back, Lord, so that we can give, so that we can continue to support, nurture, and do everything that you need for us to do. I thank you for everyone that's given into this ministry, Lord. I thank you for the time that they give. I thank you for just the ears that they give, just the obedience and the diligence, Lord. And of course, also those financial seeds that they sow, Lord, I pray a hundredfold return into every seed. You said, give and it shall be given back to us, Lord. Pressed down, shaking together, running over. It is time to hear some running over blessings, Lord. Just continue to allow us to be diligent in your word. And we thank you for everything that you're doing. Lord, we pray that you bless us to have a wonderful day on today, Lord. For this is a day that you have made. Let laughter be in our lives, Lord. Let this word be received on soft soil. That is my prayer. That is my compassion. I can't express it any more than I'm expressing it right now. But I thank you for tearing down those walls of unforgiveness. And I thank you for all that you're doing in the mighty name of Jesus. Lord, we love you. And we thank you for a blessed and wonderful holy day in Jesus' name. Amen. Listen, we'll be back next Sunday, 9 a.m. Central Standard Time. And as I always say, don't meet me there. I want you to beat me there, and I want you to be with us during this series. God is going to do some wonderful things, and we'll see you next week. Take care. Love you, and have a great one.
I just want to write you a letter. I have to be very honest with you right now. I don't really know how to say this.
I'm having a I see you right now. I wanna be free, but when I try to fly, I realize I don't know how. No one showed me how. Wish I could see that this mess of men will really work out for my good. You said it would. So, if you can hear me, can you give me a sign? 'Cause I don't feel you like I should. Please, if you could.
I can see to give you my will, 'cause your will's better for me. All know that having the newest styles and latest merchandise is an important part of your day. That's why you must check out the new online store for We Talk Radio Network. From the best quality t-shirts and hoodies to leggings and oversized blankets, we've got you covered. We even have merch for all the youth. Check us out at wetalkradio.com/shop. And while you're there, pick up an advertising package for your business or your next big project. We can customize a marketing package just for you to get your business in front of your neighbor. Go to wetalkradio.com/shop and shop.
Times are different today. Things are happening that have never happened before in the history of our world. And out of all the chaos that we're seeing and that we're experiencing, we need the word of God like never before. We need the word of God like we've never needed the word of God before. And I'm asking you to come grow with us in the soil, to receive good sound, biblical teachings that answer and speak to where we are on today. This is Pastor Jeremy J. Glenn of Spirit of Inspiring Love Church. We call it the Soil Church, and I want to see you come grow with us in the soil. You can follow us on Facebook at Spirit of Inspiring Love Church. Follow us on YouTube, Spirit of Inspiring Love Church. And as always, we'll be right here on We Talk Radio's Shine Lord Station, 10 a.m. every Sunday, and you can follow us there. But you have many multiple ways to follow us to grow with us in the soil. So come join me and allow God to speak to your spirit so that we can understand what God needs for us to do in such a time as this. So again, come join me, Jeremy J. Glenn, Senior Pastor of Spirit of Inspiring Love Church. And I'm looking for you to not meet me there, but beat me there as we grow in the soil of the love of God. Don't meet me there, beat me there.
We Talk Radio Network is the hottest online radio station heard globally. We feature the best radio shows, the most amazing hosts, and hot topic panelists. We produce and support fabulous events globally as well. We work with the most dedicated community partners, period, point blank. I started We Talk Radio Network in 2010, and guess what? 10 years later, we are still celebrating and providing the best radio shows, best special guests, the most incredible music, blogs, events, and more. We have informative shows, inspirational shows, music shows. We even have two youth shows. We invite you to be a part of the family. And you can do that by following us on all our social media platforms and by going to www.wetalkradio.com. WeTalkRadio.com.